Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
Do check out Aimavar's Eventbrite for programs for tech startups, venture investing, and corporate venture capital.
To Goals Question Time, and I've got the pleasure of having Anthony Rose, who's the founder and CEO of Seed Legals. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, thank you for having me back again.
Great. Yeah, it's been about 3 years or something now that when I interviewed you when that last time, early days of Seed Legal. I've been through your platform a number of times now as a founder and as an investor. So delighted to have you back on to give us an update, Anthony. So maybe take us back for the ones who don't know about Seed Legal, when you were founded and how you've gone, the stages you've gone through.
So thank you. Yeah. So back in 2016, which is like an eternity ago, I was at a party held by an investor in a previous company. And there was this guy there I was chatting to, and he was saying, you know, he was an ex-VC, and he was saying how lawyers take forever. They make mistakes. They charge a fortune. He wants to change it. So we thought that was an excellent idea. And we'd connect again after the party, which we did. And so, having exited a few businesses myself, I thought this was an interesting challenge. We got together and started Seed Legals. We launched in early 2017. So it's what, now 3 and something years. And since then, we've been growing. We're now 60 something people. We've been hiring a person every week or two for most of this year. There are more than 15,000 UK companies on the platform. Something like 1 in 6 of all early stage funding rounds are now done, UK funding rounds, through Seed Legals. And when it comes to EMI option schemes, another product we offer, something like 1 in 5 or thereabouts of all option schemes in the UK are now on Seed Legals. So we have obviously unrivaled data, and we use the data to put back into the ecosystem to help people complete rounds faster by showing founders and investors, you know, what's market, and help people to avoid doing crazy things. And with the proposition that actually as an investor, you see many companies and you can invest in many companies. So when there's someone coming to you with crazy provisions where the founders have got 2 votes each or, you know, don't want to give you any rights, it just creates friction. If the founders have created 5 different share classes because their accountant told them, you know, or they've seen that Mark Zuckerberg's got special shares, magic shares, and they want You're not Mark Zuckerberg. It's not going to work. So we show people the formula that helps them get investment fastest, close the rounds fastest, and then the platform builds everything. So Seed Legals is basically the one-stop platform for everything to both close an investment and build your company.
Yeah, as I said, I've used it a number of times. A venture that I was a co-founder and that with a fantastic entrepreneur, Rebecca Morta. We founded that in early 2018, but certainly as we've gone through the process and that we've done a couple of rounds, we're able to bring investors on in between rounds when you would have traditionally done, you would have had to sort of do a stop and then do a start again a number of months later. And one of the things I found useful, just building on your point there about the data, being able to go to other investors and to go to the founder and sort of say, well, how much would you typically play a non-executive director? How much equity would you sort of give team members when you're looking at options sort of schemes, and being able to look at your data with the data, because you've now got that big platform, which you wouldn't have had if you went to your normal local lawyer. What sorts of data are you finding people are finding most useful?
So it's a great point. In fact, it was one of the key hypotheses that we had, because what we do on Seed Legals is, you know, when you go to a lawyer, firstly, lawyers individually do very few funding rounds. We do more than well over 100 a month now, whereas your average lawyer will do one every month or two. So So we've got huge amounts. The other thing is, normally when people negotiate legals, all of the knowledge is encoded in thousands of words of legals. But on Seed Legals, we ask you the questions: how many investor directors would you like? What's the drag along? So we've got all the normalized variables. So that is the perfect data to feedback. So the most asked questions are always about valuation and how much should I raise is the first thing. The second thing is around typically founders and founder vesting. So as founders, you've put work into the company, you've had an idea, somebody says, I need you to set up some legal, so if you leave, you have to give back some of your shares. And you go, that's a crazy idea. I've put all this work in, you're going to take my shares away. But once people realize that about 10% of the time, founders split up, and that seems to have gone up in COVID times.
Right.
Business is a bit more difficult. Working remotely is harder. You know, not all businesses are goable in you know, with remote working or with gyms and restaurants closed. So it's definitely tougher. And when founders split up, if you don't have share vesting in place, your company becomes uninvestable because you've got some, you know, difficult, cranky, non-participating founder who now owns 50 or 30% of the shares. So founder vesting is one of the more important things. But I think to me, actually, one of the most interesting things, which, you know, not just Seed Legals, but any tech disruptor in a sense does, is you think when you start out that you're solving a current problem, but you realize very quickly that tech enables you to completely change the playing field and do things that just weren't possible. So on Seed Legals, when we started, it was about helping you close a funding round. And now my goal is to help you not do a funding round. And that means that in the past, because of the time and cost of doing all the legals for a round, you do a round every 12 to 18 months. But actually, finding investors to raise that amount of money is difficult. Yeah. If you're looking to raise 500, there's a good chance you've got 100 lined up pretty quickly. Do you need to wait 6 months and put everything on hold to find the rest? Or can you just raise that amount now and then top up later? So what we've done is we've essentially replaced the funding round with raising ahead of the round or doing a rolling close round. And more than 75% on rounds now on Seed Legals are, you know, not a single round, but raising ahead or topping up. And it's often the case we'll get on a call with the founder and we explain the rolling close and instant investments. And they go, no, it's fine. We've got all our investors lined up. Cut to 3 days later. Interesting you've mentioned it. One of my investors has dropped out and the round's going to fall apart. And what, it's like, dude, turn it into a rolling close, top up later. Ah, great. So, yeah. So I love the idea of tech not doing the things you expected it to do, but enabling next gen things that just weren't possible before.
Yeah. No, I found that fantastic. I've done it in a number of my ventures and that now, that instant invest and having that rolling thing, I'm certainly used to it, maybe because I didn't know the old world, but this sort of seems so natural in that now. And I think the other angel investors that I'm with in Henley Business Angels and all that are now getting used to it and that as well. And I think the point you made a little bit earlier as well about, look, you've got a number of options here and you just talk to the investor, you talk to the founder and sort of say, well, okay, look, there's these three options. This is the logic behind each of the options. Bang, you sort of do it. As you said, there's not complex having to read thick documents. There's not complex getting involved with lawyers and sort of stuff like that. And just rolling onto the pandemic point you made and that earlier, Anthony, certainly I've also been in the experience of other founders leaving amicably. That's fine. And we had the documents, our Seed Legals documents and that in place, and it was all relatively easy for us to say, okay, click off. And also to be praised to your team, dropping a chat message and then having a quick phone call also reassures them and reassures us that we're doing it right and all that as well, which is great. But during this pandemic, I was sort of seeing in February, seeing the wave of the virus coming through China, coming through Milan, and we were able to do a follow-on investment round over the March, April year end. Again, relatively easy putting the documents together and giving the founder in that case the runway to be able to do that. What sorts of things have you been seeing during this pandemic now that founders and investors have been going through, and how has Seed Legal been able to help in some of those circumstances?
Yeah, great question. And I think I put it into two categories. Category one is general procrastination, and category two is businesses that, you know, as luck would have it often, or maybe being able to pivot, that are either very much affected by the COVID or neutral or even positive. So let me start with the procrastination, because it's relevant again with Brexit and with vaccines and things like that. So I think when COVID hit, we saw a market decrease in SEIS advanced assurances. So we think about 1 in 5 of all the SEIS advanced assurances in the UK are now done through Seed Legals. And those are usually done couple of months ahead of a funding round. So the founder will get their SEIS and then go look for investors. So we saw a huge drop in advanced assurance applications, which is a sort of a leading indicator that funding rounds were going to be affected.
Yeah.
We also saw probably about 30% of investors dropping out, but founders were just keeping going, reducing by 30% the amount they were looking to raise, not stopping, and then turning the round into a rolling close to add in later.
Right.
But the first observation I had was when founders or investors started, you know, asking, well, should we delay, should we hold? And when COVID hit, we thought, you know, the government said 2 weeks of lockdown, and we all thought 2 weeks, meh, it will probably be more like 6 weeks. But had you procrastinated, you'd be procrastinating forever. I saw one fund that said they were procrastinating, holding off doing investments because of Brexit. This was in 2019. And eventually they gave up. But they lost 6 months of any activity while they sat around, you know, doing nothing. So my take, very quickly, I figured, you know, if you're a founder, procrastination is basically death. You know, your business has to make decisions. You have to make decisions. As an investor, you know, you can choose to hold off and leave your money in the bank and get 0% interest, or you can change the world.
Yeah.
But I think now we'll see yet again with Brexit and or vaccines, people with another set of reasons to delay making decisions. But I think with funding rounds, they picked up really, really quickly. And the reason they picked up quickly was the smartest founders, who also happened to be in businesses that could benefit or were unaffected, would continue their fundraising. And therefore, the smartest investors who wanted to be part of the best rounds had no option but to be in the game. Otherwise, they would just lose out.
Right.
So investors were dragged back in very quickly, other than the ones who just didn't want to. And so we saw a smallish dip in funding rounds. And actually, over the last weeks, ironically, just before the Brexit piece, they're at a record high. And I don't know if that's Seed Legal's just capturing more market share, because one can never tell, or they're just more funding rounds than ever before, but they've really skyrocketed in the last weeks. So that's about procrastination. And then the other part is about being sort of a COVID, you know, ready business. And so obviously, some businesses, if you're in theater or gyms or restaurants, you know, you've got problems, right?
Yeah, yeah,
so the question is, I think one of two things, how can you firstly pivot your business to take advantage of the times? And secondly, and much more easily doable, is how do you tweak your pitch deck to embrace COVID, so to speak. So I do pitch deck clinic, and I see lots of pitch decks, and I'm often amazed at how people pretend that COVID doesn't exist in their pitch deck. You know, it's like you've written it pre-COVID and you've never updated it. And then I see some who've put a bit of a mention of COVID, but actually I think you should tackle it head on. And I've got one company doing their funding rounds, and it's a travel guide business. obviously people are not traveling, so travel guide business is out. And rather than, you know, in their pitch deck, they could have pretended COVID didn't exist, or they could have said things will be back soon. But what I loved is in their pitch deck, they embraced it head on. They showed how they immediately dramatically reduced spending. Their 160K in the bank is going to last them another year. And they've reduced the cost of making content, and they're focusing on hyperlocal. And so reading this, you go, actually, I thought these guys were kind of a basket case, but it's the opposite. Yeah, they've really...
It's the team, isn't it?
It's the team.
And if somebody can pivot and change, then you've got confidence then for the next bit, as you said. Yeah, great point. Yeah.
And I think that's exactly it, which is, you know, investors are often talking about, am I, you know, betting on the idea or the team? And I think COVID makes it often clearer that it's very much the team, because, you know, as a CEO myself, one day you wake up and you go, I've got all my team looking at me to provide leadership and guidance. I know absolutely nothing about COVID, work from home, or anything like that. Yeah. How do I, you know, without being, you know, unrealistic or coming up with crazy things, how do you now learn and take the right level of, you know, leadership? And I think that's what I look for when I look at pitch decks, to go, how is a company, you know, if you can call it embracing COVID times.
Yeah, yeah. Anthony, that's a fantastic update. Really pleased to see. Now, as you said, 3-4 years on, the fantastic support I know you're giving to lots of investors and entrepreneurs like I've sort of been through, and great to understand what's been happening, you know, with the community and that during this pandemic. So thanks for the update.
Well, thank you. I can't believe it was so long since we last spoke. I think I probably was sitting on a corridor on a beanbag in our first office on our first call.
I have been and visited you in what was your new office, like probably about 18 months ago, sort of something like that. But I'm losing all track of time now with this COVID time. So.
Yeah, and I've been happily hiring people, which is much easier when you don't have to find desk space. But one day when the vaccine's there, I'm going to have a big problem. So I think I've hired more people than I've got office space for. But I'll figure that out later.
Well, we're continuing from home a lot. So thanks very much for your time.
All right. Thank you. Great talking.
Please subscribe to future podcasts, and please give us a 5-star rating on your platform. Thank you.
Do check out Amavar's Eventbrite for programs for tech startups, venture investing, and corporate venture capital.